chapter 5, reading from verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. I just want you to visualize for a moment. You know, I think sometimes we read the Bible, we look at the scriptures and we think, well, that was a good story. But I want you to visualize this morning. I want you to visualize just what a predicament this leprous man was in. He should have been crying out, unclean, unclean. But somehow he'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard about the healing power of Jesus. And he comes up to him and it says, when he saw Jesus, this unclean man, this outcast man, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I love this petition that came from this man who was an outcast. You know, there are a lot of people in the world who are outcasts. There are a lot of people in the world who are marked and have the stains of sin upon their lives. But what a wonderful thing it is when they come to Jesus, they will receive the same as that leprous man. One touch and he was made clean. The leprosy immediately left him. I want to go over further to verse 18. And this verse speaks of someone carrying a cripple. I want you again to just see this, these people. They were probably devoted people, people who believed in God. And they had decided that they were going to get this cripple to Jesus. But you know, there was a problem. People stopped them from getting to Jesus. Unfortunately, today, that same thing happens. People are wanting the message of Christ. They're keen to hear, but somehow what happens, people get in the road. Oftentimes, people cause others to turn away. But these people were determined in their hearts. Nothing was going to stop them from getting the cripple to Jesus. I like it. If we saw someone coming down through the roof, waiting to be healed, wouldn't that be an amazing thing? You know, when this man was lowered down before Jesus, in front of Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't see the cripple. Did you realize that? He saw their faith. And oftentimes we come to the Lord and we see people who have needs. We see the people. But you know what we should really do? We should see God, the one who answers the need of that person more than seeing the person. You know what? We can't really believe at times. I'm going to ask you something. Hands up those who sometimes can't believe. Do you know what? I think it covers most of us. We have doubts. Why do we have doubts? Because we see the problem more than we see the problem solver. Do you hear that? We see the problem, but we should be seeing the one who solves the problem. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Hey, come on. I didn't come here to have my sins forgiven. But Jesus recognized the first things first. Spiritual release before physical release from that situation he was in. He said, your sins are forgiven. And of course, those Pharisees and teachers. Aren't you glad that we don't have Pharisees and You know, they call them by a different name today, don't they? But I think we still have some Pharisees and some people who are sad, you see, as well. We do have those same people. And they began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow? They didn't know him. But the man who was a cripple, he was introduced to him. He was introduced by someone who had faith in a God who was able to meet needs. Bible says he said to this man, get up, take your mat and go home. That was a foolish thing to say to a cripple, wasn't it? In actual fact, that was a silly thing to say. But Jesus had all power. And he just said, I could imagine that cripple as Jesus said, get up. He didn't pray or go on with a lot of other things. He just said simply, get up. And you know, it reminds me of Daniel. They said to Daniel, well, Daniel, you're going to be feed for the lions if you don't do what you're supposed to do by the authorities. And Daniel, the Bible says, he went home. And did he pray earnestly about the lions and the den and being thrown? The Bible says he prayed as he did before. You get it? He knew God in such a personal way. He knew God in such a way that he just added one more prayer. And he knew what would happen. I think at times, all of us, maybe you're different than me, but I often see the problems. And the problems get in front of me when I'm praying, instead of being able to see the one who is almighty. Well, he said, get up and take your mat and go home. And he immediately took the man who'd been lying on that mat, went home praising God. And I'll tell you something. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. I believe in miracles. Do you? I believe that that is something that the church, that we should be earnestly seeking God for his power and for his direction in these areas. I believe that we should be asking God and believing God and trusting God. I believe that we can see miracles again, don't you? I believe that God is willing, but he's waiting for us to be in that place where we can receive what he wants to give. Let's go to another one. Take a fresh look again at what Jesus did. Luke chapter 7. Reading from verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. It's not just a story for us to read. It's a story for us to fully comprehend. There was sadness. Sadness all around. That woman had only that child. She was desperate. And she went along that road, and that procession went down the road with a mother who was sorrowing. Can you get the picture? Can you feel how she would have felt? Can you feel the agony of her innermost being as she realized, this is it. This is my only son. He's dead. I just love the next part. When the Lord saw her, we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, hey, listen, and I'm just going to paraphrase. Hey, listen, old lady, don't worry. Don't be upset. you're going on a joyful occasion. You didn't know it, but you're leading a procession of praise. Oh, it doesn't say that, but that's what it was soon going to turn into. He said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. And he said, young man, it's time to wake up. Young man, get up. And he handed back that young man back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. Again, I say, do we not long to see the power of God manifest again? Do we not longingly say, God, come again in your power. Come with your strength, your mighty strength. Touch people's hearts. Touch people's bodies. May we see people saved. May we see people healed by the same God that lived back then. My Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, not today, but maybe in the future. He's the same today as he always was. He's the same one who healed back there. And the Bible says he's dwelling within you. Is that right? So there's some mistake we make. If he's dwelling within us, we have the power of God dwelling within us. Do you believe that this morning? The power of God is within. But somehow the devil has caused us to not, well, we say we believe it, but somehow we're slipping up and we're letting the blessings and the power of God bypass us. But God is going to raise up a people who will say, our God is able. Our God can do anything but fail. And that's just the type of Jesus that I want to know afresh. Let's take a fresh look at Colossians. We've seen what God was like, what God could do, and what Jesus did. And I know he did a lot more other things, but I just picked those particular ones. I want to turn to Colossians chapter 2 and reading verses 21 and 23. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Then down to chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. I actually believe, if we take notice of these next few scriptures, I believe that we will learn to live a more victorious life, because we will be earnestly seeking God's will. We'll earnestly be seeking what God wants. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated in power at the right hand of God. Since, then it said, set your hearts. Now it says, set your minds on things above. Do you know, if you get talking to many Christians, they will talk about many things, but not very much about the things of God. We need to be thinking about the things of God, speaking to one another about the things of God. Wouldn't it be great if we were saying, hey, what did God do for you this week? Or have you gone through some difficult times this week? Well, we're going to believe together for you. We're going to think together. Our minds are going to be set on things above, and not on earthly things. For you died. Did we? We say we did, but sometimes we seem to want to be resurrected. The old man wants to live again. Is that right? But the Bible says, above not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That sounds good, but now it tells us something else. You, in verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. We are to put to death. How often do we have people pray, oh God, help me do this, help me do that. He will help you, but you know what? There are some things that you have to do. You had to come willingly to Christ, first of all, and now you have to willingly live a life that pleases him. Put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves. Here it is again. You, it's up to you. You must rid yourself of all such things as these. I'm just going to read them out. Have a look and see if any of them apply to you. The first one's anger. No one here ever has anger. Isn't that wonderful? You never get angry with anyone. So anger, we could mark that one off. Is that right? Rage. Well, I know no one here gets in a rage, that's for sure. Malice. Slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. The secret there is, have we taken off self with its practices? If we haven't, we need to. And it's no good saying, well, I never get angry, but I do other things. We have got to try and, with God's help, remove these from our lives. And then in the last part it says, verse 12, listen to it very carefully. Therefore, as God's chosen people, the apostle calls you holy. And I believe that means H-O-L-Y and W-H. O-L-Y, wholly given to him and living holy lives. It says, and dearly loved, seeing that we've put off these things, he says, now clothe yourselves with compassion, the compassion that Jesus had when he walked this earth, when he saw the needy ones and he did something for them. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It says in another place, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since you are members of one body. You are called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And you know, it does tell us here to sing psalms. And it also says hymns. And it also says spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Folks, I want you this morning to take a fresh look. I want you to look and see how the Lord would have us live. I want you to look back over the scriptures and see how he would have us believe. I want you to look back and see how he would have us live. And if we're not living in accordance with the word of God, and I'm not suggesting you're not, but should anyone not be living the way the word says we should live, take another look at and see how Christ was. You see, it says people look into the face of the Lord. Now, we don't see the Lord, but we see his face demonstrated or shown in the lives of Christians as their faces are lit up with the light of the gospel, with the Spirit of God burning within. People see Christ in you. Is that right? I trusted today as we go from here that we will just take with us the blessings of the Lord. As you shake somebody's hand, I want you to be so filled with God that somebody else will want to shake your hand. Someone else will want to put their arm on you and feel God's presence. I do believe in feeling God's presence, don't you? I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit can come upon us and we can be new creatures. We can have power with the Lord as we look to Him. I just want you to experience the power of God as you walk daily with Him. I was going to go on to another scripture, but I said I wouldn't keep you here long, so I will leave that this morning. And I'm just going to allow you to have an early morning, and I'm going to allow you just to think about those things that I have spoken. I'm going to allow you just to meditate on the goodness of God. I want you to think about it, not just now, but I want you to go from this place having said, yes, I want to be closer to my Lord. I want Him to saturate me with His presence. I want people to know that the Spirit of God dwells within. You are God's, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price, and He paid a tremendous price. He gave His all. I ask afresh this morning, what will we give? I just have to keep you a couple more minutes. You know, when Jesus was out in the west, out from the towns, the crowd were following Jesus, and the disciples said to Jesus, "It's getting late. We've got a crowd on our hands. What can we do?" "Send them away," the people said. Jesus said, "Don't send them away. You give them something to eat." I could almost hear Jesus, "Do you really mean that? We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is wrong with you? You know we can't feed this crowd. Look at them." Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." I want to put it to you this morning. You may say, "I haven't got much." But little is much when God is in it. If you give all that you have, God will bless it. And you know, He didn't ask the Lord for a miracle. You know, Jesus didn't. What does the Bible say? He gave thanks. Maybe you're miracle is just around the corner. Maybe that answer to your prayer is not far away. Start giving thanks for it now. Be ahead of the blessing. Thank God for it. I thank God for all of you folks this morning. I hope you didn't mind me just speaking the way I did. I just like to talk to people. God bless you and have a wonderful week in Jesus. Amen.